Y'all hear me? What a great God, amen? Isn't he good? Well, we're so thankful for you being here. We're excited about the word of the Lord. God is good to us. I pray that we come here every time to just dig deeper into his word. Learn more about what God has in store for us. The more I look in the word of God, the more I'm amazed at how incredible God is. How many know we serve an incredible God? Absolutely incredible. And he wants the absolute best for us. And we're just excited to have the opportunity to go into his word and allow the Lord to do what he does. And that's minister to our lives in a very special way. So I'm thankful for all of you being here. I appreciate the opportunity that God gives us to come and just magnify him and praise him. He is truly amazing. And I'm just thankful. We've been in this series dealing with When You Look Into My Glory. And I want you to just think about that just for a moment. Think about that. When you look into my glory. That's what God wants us to understand. When you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. You will be instantly changed. And there's no doubt about that. This is not a maybe. That goes for every person here. When you look into his glory, we're talking about God's glory. We're talking about the Most High God. The Most High God. I want you to consider that. Think about that. And I want you to really take into consideration the value of what opportunity has been awarded us when we come and we have been graced, as it were, by the word of God, that God begins to reveal himself to us. How incredible that is. And that's what we've been seeing. So we looked at the glory. When we first started, I was sharing some things about the glory. I'm going to continue to do that. Last week, we talked about God's glory is underived. Means he didn't get his glory from anybody. Let me understand that. And today, I'm going to show you that God's glory, he won't share. He doesn't share his glory. He said, I won't give my glory to another. We're going to look at those verses of scripture and deal with that. And then we're going to look at Jesus has his own glory. I want to look at that. He has his own glory. And I think these are important principles that we look at continually. But let me give you a few verses. Remember when we first started this series, I talked about the plan of God. And as I'll continue to search through the scripture, continue to read and study, I come across these verses as I'm reading, and I want to add that into these messages as we go. But we talked about God's plan. God had his whole plan in place before he ever started. Before he ever slung the stars out made the universe. He had his plan in place. And in that plan, he planned for us to be redeemed. Isn't that amazing how God redeemed us before the fall of man? Let me understand that. Listen, I heard a story, a guy told this story, and I'll tell it to you, kind of get your mind of what he said. Him and his family went to a circus. And at this circus, they always try to bring in these big events. Well, this one big event that draws the people in, this guy's going to get shot out of a cannon. All right? So in this display of a big cannon there and this man in it, and they light the thing, and it's going to be an event for everybody to see. But on the other end where he's going to be shot, there's this big safety net. It's already in place. So when they shoot him out the cannon, zoom, there he goes. And where does he land? In the safety net. Well, what if there would have been no safety net? It wouldn't have been much of a show. It would have been a suicide. Right? Well, God didn't create man without a safety net. Do you understand what I'm saying? He didn't create man without a safety net. You're talking about God here. This is, we're talking about the Almighty God, the Most High God. He had it all in place. So the enemy thought he was pulling it over on God. And he had no idea God had a safety net in place. God didn't just launch man into absolute failure. He said, I'm going to show who, because see, all of this displays the glory of God. It displays His glory. How incredible God is that He wouldn't just launch man into being humanity without God making provision for anything that comes up. That's an incredible God. That's the one we serve. That's the one we just sang to. That'll get you singing right there. And that's what we got to understand those things about God. When you talk to Him, when you speak to Him, we understand those principles. They're very important, very valuable that we understand that. So I want to look at some verses I want to give you dealing with that. I'll give you some of these verses kind of leading up to what we've been looking at. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8 verse 22 says, "The Lord possessed me at the beginning of His way, before His works of old. From everlasting I was established, from the beginning, from the earliest times of the earth." When did God do it? From everlasting, from the beginning. Isn't it amazing how we see these verses of Scripture throughout the Bible? God established that. And it's important that we keep these things in mind. Isaiah 46 verse 10. It says, "Declaring the end from the beginning, from the ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, My purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure." How many see that? I will accomplish all my good pleasure. We're talking about a God, the Most High God, that's incredible. That's the one we have to know. That's the one that we have to understand, that we're talking about a relationship through His Son that we get to have with an incredible God of glory like we've been looking at throughout the Scripture. Let me give you, I got a couple more of them. Micah. Micah chapter 5 verse 2. "But as for you, Bethlehem Ephratah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you, one will go forth from me." How many see that? He's declaring the Lord Messiah here. He's declaring Jesus. He said, from you, one will go forth from me to be ruler in Israel. Watch this. His, talking about Jesus, His going forth from long ago, or from long ago. Isn't that amazing? From the days of when? Eternity. Listen, if I ask this question, when did eternity start? That'd be a dumb question, wouldn't it? So I'm going to ask you, when was Jesus planned to redeem Israel? From eternity. That's what the Scripture says. God didn't, He didn't wait for man to mess up and say, okay, now I got to fix this problem. He fixed the problem before man ever messed up. So why did man mess up? Well, I can't answer why man messed up, but I can answer this. We figured out real quick, we need a Savior. Man ain't good alone. We need a God, we need someone to be over us. I mean, understand that. If you leave man alone, what do we do with it when God leaves man alone? We mess it up. And there's a reason for that. There's a reason we mess it up. I'm not sure what we got, brother, but we'll go with it. Psalms 93, verse 2. "Thy throne," look at that, "thy throne is established from old." Thou art from everlasting. Beginning of this series. But we definitely want to understand that. We want to make sure we understand that God is not a man. Remember that. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. We're talking about two different things when you're talking about God and man. They're completely different. The only thing that man has that resembles God is we're made in his image and his likeness. Does that make God a man? No. You understand that? We're not a man. God is not a reflection of man. Does that make sense to you? We're a reflection of God. Listen. Somebody's got to create the image in the mirror. I don't know if y'all getting this. Do you understand that? If you're not in the room and you got a mirror in your room, there's no reflection in it. But when you step in the room, somebody made that reflection. And that would be you. Well, guess what? God is the one that he makes the reflection, not man. Man is not what creates God. God is what creates man. So I want you to understand this. Say it again. God is not a man. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Watch this. He has said, will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? That's what I'm going with. I'm going with if he said it, he's going to do it. If God spoke it, he's going to make it good. Maybe it hadn't come yet, but it's on its way. And that's how you got to look at it. He's going to make it good because he said he would. And I think that's important for us to understand. First Samuel chapter 15. Again, just bear with these verses because I need to set out some of these verses for you to get, because we're going to talk about when we get in these difficult things that we talk about, where we're challenging what's being taught today, challenging what folks are saying about God. And I think that we got to understand the Bible and look at it clearly. These are verses that people pass over and just kind of float around, and we touch on them every now and then. But I'm talking about this, the Word of God. In 1 Samuel 15:29, he said, also, the glory of Israel will not lie. When I say the glory of Israel here, what am I talking about? God. I could also say, also, God of Israel will not lie. What is he described here as, though? Glory. Because let me tell you this. The glory of God, you ready for this? Is all of God. There's nothing that he is that's not in his glory. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. That's why when the Lord spoke to me in 2001, he said, when you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. He wasn't kidding. You understand? God, everything that God's glory is all, it's complete, there's whole. There's nothing missing. And watch this. Nothing can be taken from it. God is never less. Do you understand that? He's never less. He doesn't diminish. Is this encouraging to you? When you go to pray, you're talking about a God who don't diminish. What does that mean? Look, the same God who sat down on the mountain of Sinai and caught that thing on fire is the one that I'm telling you about today. He's don't diminish. He's the same. And that's what we have to understand about God and His glory and His goodness. Very important that we get grab hold of that. And I want this for all of us. Absolutely wants it. Also, the glory of Israel will not lie or change his mind. He won't lie or change his mind. For he is not a man that he should change his mind. We change our mind. We do. We start off saying, this is what I'm going to do. I guarantee you this is what I'm going to do. And the guarantee changes when it gets difficult. But when God says he's going to do something, it doesn't matter. Listen, it can't get more difficult than watching your only son be beat to death and hung on a cross and then put in a tomb. It can't get more difficult than that. But you know what God said? I don't change my mind. I said I'd bring him up, and I'm going to bring him up. In 3 days, his son rose from the dead. How many understand that? Because nothing changes God's mind. He don't get all, God don't get shook up. We get shook up. That's why we need God. Anybody see your need for God more? I don't want to let him go. Before, you know, you kind of, you can take it or leave it. No, that whole take it or leave it attitude, I believe we're finished with that. We're finished with that. Let me give you an analogy. What's going on? I was sharing this with Brother Josh, about to come out my suit in the office. Brother Josh was just standing there. But let me give you an analogy, all right? High school basketball. Everybody's familiar with basketball. There's 5 men on a team. We're going to talk about high school, okay? So we got South Plaque High School. They got a basketball team, and we got another school, Belchase, okay? They got a basketball team. And they're going to play one another. And we're going to put our 5 best guys. That's generally what the coach wants to do. And they're going to put their 5 best guys. And they're going to play each other. Now, we don't know who's going to win. Each team believe they can win, but we don't know. Now, if I'm for South Plaque, I'm going to pull for who? South Plaque. If I'm for Belchase, I'm going to pull for who? Belchase. And we're both going to do what? Hope that our team wins. But just before the game got started, I mean, it was set. It's on a Friday night. And this is for the championship. Just before the game got started, South Plaque got a phone call. They said, hello? They said, yeah, this is Michael Jordan. Would it be okay if I played on y'all team tonight? Things just change. Can y'all feel what I just felt? Stuff just changed. South Plaque's going around saying, we won. They didn't play the game yet, but what are they saying? We won. I'm going to tell you, I know somebody who's a lot bigger than Michael Jordan. He just stepped on your team. Do you understand that? When he gets on your team, it's as good as done. It's done. And that's what you get on the inside of you. That's how I've been feeling. I'm telling you, about to go crazy on this stuff. It's as good as done. Now, just think what happens to the 5 high school boys at Belchase. And they could be good. But we're talking about a whole different league. We're talking about something so far past those high school kids. Do you understand that? That's what God wants you to get, that picture of who he is. If I am for you, he said, then who can be against you? Show them to me. Name them. It doesn't matter. I'm on your team. I hope you get this. This stuff is real. He's on our side. So when I'm praying, it's not tit for tat. Does everybody get this? I make a shot, you make a shot. How many tired of that? You get one good day, you got three bad days. You got to get tired of that. The devil's a liar. But God is not a man that he should lie. I'm going to say it again. The devil is a liar, but God is not a man that he should lie. You got to figure out who's on your side. But let me tell you, our view of God is going to dictate what we say, how we live, and what goes on in our life. Our view of God. And I want to know what your view of God is. I'm going to tell you, it changes when somebody like that caliber steps. It changes everything. You're not hoping to win. It's guaranteed you win. There ain't a person on that team can stop him. He just takes the ball at will and goes down the court and they jump on beating on. And nobody can stop him. That's the kind of God we serve. He can't be stopped. Listen, he says he is not a man that he should change his mind. If he said it in the word, he's going to do what he said. And we got to grab hold to that. It has to be something that becomes real to us. Is this helping anybody already? Hosea chapter 11, verse 9. Hosea chapter 11, verse 9. He said, I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not destroy Ephraim again, for I am God and not man, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath. Now, I want you to get this. How many times we just read that God's not man? I don't know how many times we got to read it to get it. So if you read these verses I just read to you, and I come to you and say, God is and man, it's all the same. If I come to you and say that God, there's a dual nature in God. He's God and man. Can I fly? Why is that being taught? If God's dual nature, then what we do with these verses? God's not a switch. He flips on his God side, then he's God, then he flips it off and he turns his man side on. There's another verse. Find one for me. Find a verse where God says, I'm dual natured. Yeah, we can create a whole doctrine on that. I know it's tough stuff, but we got to start speaking right about God. If we don't start speaking right about God, we're going to run into some. Listen, we don't think we've done been through some stuff. We have no idea. But I don't care what happens. When you speak right about God, you got him on your side. So it doesn't matter. And so with him on your side, you know that there's victory there. And that's important, very important. So let me give you just a couple things. This is what we're dealing with. Number two, God's glory will not be shared. God's glory is his glory. Everybody say his glory. It will not be given to another. I want you to keep that in mind. And we got to speak right about God. God's glory will not be shared. God's glory is his glory. It will not be given to another. Glory, I'm going to give you just a few definitions. As I'm going through this, I'll give you definitions from time to time on some of these areas that the Lord has, as I go through this and look at it, and some of these things just jump out to me. It says, glory, an attribute of God, describable as the sum total of his perfection. It cannot be defined with references to anything we know. You know, we are dimensional creation. We only operate in certain dimensions. God operates in all dimensions. There's not a dimension that is known to man that God can't operate in. You understand that? We're dimensional. Let me tell you what that means. Jacob sitting on the front row, he's not at his trailer. He's a dimensional being. I'm a dimensional being. I can only be in one place at one time. I can't be here and over there. God is not subject to that. I'm seeing what's going on in this room. I don't know what's going on at my house right now. Does this make sense to you? So I can, for me to try to put in words, it's so past me. I only can do the best I can. I only can go to the literature we have and the historical facts that we have to try to give you an idea about the glory of God. But he said, when you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. Now, I want you to see some of these things because they're fascinating when we look at them. Look at Job with me. I'll just lay out something for you. You have to turn there. I don't have the slides for this. Job 42. Job chapter 42. In the 42nd chapter of Job, it says this in verse number 7. And it came about after the Lord had spoken these words to Job that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against you and against your two friends because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. Verse 8. Now therefore, take for yourself 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer up a burnt offering for yourselves, and my servant Job will pray for you. For I will accept him so that I may not do with you according to your folly. Is everybody seeing this? Because you have not spoken of me what is right, in as my servant Job has. Verse 9. So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite went and did as the Lord told them, and the Lord accepted Job. How many see that? So what happened was Job went through some difficulty. He had some serious stuff come against him. He lost everything he had, and it was all gone in a day. It was just they never quit coming. Every servant just kept coming. He lost all his possession, lost his family. It was a tough time for him, difficult for him. So what happened was his three friends came by. And if you read the beginning of these chapters in Job, around 28 chapters there, you'll find that the friends begin to tell Job this and that about God and what they thought and everything. And so God comes back here in the 42nd chapter and says, listen. He said to Eliphaz, he said, listen, you're in trouble. And the reason you're in trouble, you didn't speak right about me. Uh-oh. I'm just wondering if we got to fix some things in our church world today. You know, maybe we say, well, you know, it don't really matter because God's a loving God. He loves, you know, and that's no joke. I'll go with that. God is a God of love. There's no doubt about it. But if you speak bad about God, he's going to let you know about it. How do we speak bad about God? Well, a lot of times we're not saying really who God is. If I say God something other than he is, am I speaking bad about him? Absolutely I am. So he says to Eliphaz and Bildad, he tells all these three friends, he said, listen to me. You got to go make a sacrifice, a burnt offering because of what you did. Because if not, I'm going to come against you for your folly. Your folly, because you spoke wrong about me. And I'm convinced that one of the biggest issues that we have in our world today, in church, because this is what I do in church, across the board, is people speaking wrong about God. Mm-mm. Think about it. Saying God's this when he's not. Saying this about God when he's not that. There's a diminishment of God. Listen, and you can see it across the board. You can turn on your Christian channels and turn on this and that, and you'll hear it on the radio. They're not speaking right about God. And what happens is you have somebody stand up and say, hey, we need to check ourselves. And the very first thing happens is, oh, you got to watch that. That sounds like that's heretical. That sounds like heresy. Well, listen, somebody's going to have to take a stand and decide. You either want to be better reproach of the people or come against the Almighty God. Which one is going to be? And so you don't just jump into this. And I wouldn't, and listen, and I want you to understand this. I want you to take these words that I'm telling you. I would never, ever, ever do that to you. I wouldn't just jump into this. But from what I see in the scripture, what I see the Bible's telling me, I'm telling you, we haven't spoken right about God, and we got to change that. We haven't spoken right about Him. And so that's why it can be kind of anything goes. That's why you get, there's so many different ideas and beliefs because nobody's speaking right about God. We better check ourselves. We got to check our message. Check our message and make sure what we're saying is correct. I think it's a good practice to check ourselves. The saddest thing is when we believe we're right about absolutely everything and we won't go back and check anything. We got to admit, and I told you this early on, probably 2 years ago you heard me say this same statement I'm going to make. We got to admit that we're wrong. We got to come to some understanding that we've been wrong about something. One thing I know we've been wrong about, and across the board, we haven't spoken right about God, the Most High God. And when you don't speak right about Him, you take away from His glory. You take away from His glory. We don't want to do that. So I want you to keep that in mind as you go back and read over this 42nd chapter. You'll see what I'm saying when it comes there. Glory in the Old Testament is kabod. In the New Testament, it is doxa. Both carry the same meaning. This is what it means, both of them. To recognize a person for who they are. Think about that. To recognize a person for who they are. And I feel like we haven't recognized God for who He is. How many can honestly say that you've been serving God and you knew God was on your team, but you still felt like you were going to lose? Be honest. Still felt like you was losing, beat down, never going to make it. He's on your team. You knew, you believed that. Let me tell you why. Because your picture or your view of God was not what it should have been, because it was like somebody else. He was God, but He ain't God to you. He ain't the true Most High God. Do you see my point? You believe you served Him, but your feeling you got is a losing feeling. And let me tell you, you should never feel like a losing feeling ever when you know who your God is. Does that make sense to you? So we have to understand that. People struggle all the time. And let me tell you why there's a struggle. Because there's an adversary out there. And he's trying everything he can to cloud people's understanding about the one true God. He don't want you to know the one true God. He don't want you to know it. Now why, when I use my analogy a minute ago about Michael Jordan, why is it that everybody got the point right away? You know why? There's been enough display and understanding of his stats. Are y'all hearing me? His stats. On what his performance was. And you believed it. How many here has ever been to a real game and watched him play? Let me see your hand. You mean you never seen him? You never met him? Not on TV. A real game. You understand my point? You believe what somebody showed you in a little square box. You ain't never met the man. I'm telling you, I don't have a square box, but I got a square book that tells me everything about him. And I'm telling you, I'm believing what this says, And what we've been doing is we're not recognizing him for who he is. That's why we feel like we're losing and he's on our side. I would never feel that way again. And the reason I felt that way, my view of God was too small. I believed that he was God. But my view of how big that God is and how awesome that God is and how much glory that God is, God, I didn't know. And we got to quit kidding ourselves. And folks, all you got to do is hear somebody's message and you'll figure out their view of God. Hear the way folks talk. That's your view of God. If you're talking negative and losing all the time, I'm not sure who's on your side. And you're going, oh yeah, I'm trusting the Lord. What Lord? Which one are you trusting? The one that's beat down, negative, and he never going to get you out of that mess that you're in? Or the one who says, when I tell you I'm going to do it, I won't change my mind. You can be sure I'm going to do what I said. And that's what Jesus meant when he said, Father, the glory. He's about to die. He said, the glory that I have with you in that plan, he said, I want you to know, God, I'm trusting you. You on my side. So what did Jesus do? He stepped in to death and died for all of humanity. Did he have to worry? Did he have to worry that he was going to stay in death? No. He trusted God, his Father, and he knew that I'll be there just for a little. You said for a little while. And do you think Jesus knew that? He said, yeah. He said, unless this grain of sand die, he said, I'll destroy the temple in 3 days. I'll bring it back. About it. So what did God do? He brought it back. And so that's important to understand. So keep that in mind. Keep those understandings, because I'm telling you, it's very important for us to grab hold to. So remember that definition, to recognize a person for who they are. Psalms 19, verse 1. The heavens are telling of the glory of God. The heavens are telling of the glory. And their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. So let me just tell you this. You're never going to, on any given day, like today, today's a given day. On this given day, you're never going to arrive at the full glory of God. And tomorrow comes, and that day, you'll never arrive at the full, you would constantly, because there's no way that we can ever encapsulate the full knowledge of the glory of God. That's why we got to keep, you're constantly going to be going after him. In other words, when you see God perform, say God, we have a performance from God. God's all, he does that. From time to time, he'll allow his manifested presence. That's the Shekinah glory. He'll allow his presence. Remember, because God has a presence. Remember that. He has a presence. He's not a mist. He's not some vapor, and he has a presence. You get close to that presence, you know you've been and you're there. Remember the angel came and delivered the message in Zechariah? He delivered the message there that Elizabeth was going to have a kid. He said, where you come? I come from the presence of God. I come from his presence. I was there. I was hanging. I was right with him. So God has a presence. And so from time to time, God's presence or his manifestation or the power of God will manifest itself. Maybe a healing, a miracle. Jesus had that happen all the time, right? When he needed God. What about this one? Lazarus, come forth. Well, how in the world that happened? Because he understood who his God was. And if you read that account, he said he had a communication with the Father, cleared it with the Father, and God said, go for it. Just what do I do, Lord? What do I do, God? Just say his name. Just say it. And so that's a manifestation. Well, listen, God will do that from time to time. What we need to understand is that's not his fullness. That's not his fullness. Well, after he done manifesting that, blowed your mind, you felt it all over you, chill bumps, get ready. Hold yourself up, because he's got more. And the next day, he's got more. And the next, you cannot exhaust the glory of God. I'm telling you, it's that awesome. So remember that. Can anybody see that God's running away with this thing? I'm just asking. Can you see that? The race is on, and God is running away with the whole thing. I mean, he's way out there, and that's where he needs to be. You don't bring God down and hook him next to man and say, okay, because God is what? Not a man. I don't need to be told more than that, more than he told me. He's not a man. How many understand that? Isaiah 42. I want you to get this. Isaiah 42, verse 1. Says, behold, my servant whom I uphold. He's talking about Jesus, prophesying his servant. Who's going to be the servant? Jesus. Why is he describing him as a servant? Because he came to serve on behalf of God, and he was spoken that he would do that. So listen what he said. Behold, my servant whom I uphold. Who's upholding him? The Most High God. Jesus ain't upholding himself. My chosen one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. Whose spirit Jesus had on him? He had God's spirit. Notice this. Now let me ask you something. Am I talking about two different people here? Yeah. I'm talking about the Most High God and his only begotten unique son. That's what I'm talking about. That's prophesied now. This is Isaiah, by the way. Just so you know, I put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. Is he going to do that? Absolutely. That's what the word said. He will not cry out or raise his voice, nor make his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. He will faithfully bring forth justice. Do y'all see in this? What I'm gathering so far, he's not going to fail. He said, I'm telling you ahead of time, he's not going to fail. I sent the first Adam. He failed. I showed humanity they're susceptible to failure outside of an understanding of who I am, my full glory. And it's challenged by an outside word, another revelation, another gospel. So Satan comes and says, you won't die. See, that's another gospel. Paul said, be careful of that other gospel. Let's not try to make this five or six or seven different things. We're talking about two things, good, evil. It's very simple stuff. There's no in-between. There's no gray area. God and the devil. The devil wants God's throne. He never gets it. I don't even know how to explain how ludicrous it is for him to think he will. There's not a comparison. No, you know, there's no, like, you know, you see all these pictures, they show it all tit for tat. We're not talking about God there. But for man, that's where it's at. And sometimes you got to understand the devil wants to be just a little bit. What is man that thou mind for him, the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou made him, man, a little lower than the angel. We're not talking about God, man, and the enemy. You see the difference? But what's the difference? He has no God. He believes he's God. This guy right here, he has the Almighty God. So what does God do? He elevates you. You don't elevate yourself. He elevates you and say, okay, let's go at it. So Satan comes to Jesus and says, if you be the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. He had no idea what God just pushed him up. He said, man shall not live. See what I'm saying? You've got to overcome the evil. And we're going to talk about that. This is a ongoing series that we'll be talking about lots of this stuff, okay? He will not be disheartened or crushed until he has established justice on the earth. and the coastland will wait expectantly for his law. Thus says God the Lord, or the Lord God. If I say the Lord God, what am I talking about? Thus says Yahweh. That's his name. Who created the heavens and stretched them out. Who did the creating? The Most High God. He spread out the earth and its offspring. Who did that? He gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. Who does all that? We're talking about the Almighty Most High God. He says, I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you. I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations. Are y'all seeing this? To open the blind eyes, bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, and those who dwell in darkness from the prisons. This is what God will do. But watch this verse. Watch this one. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another. Do you see it? Nor my praise to graven images. And it won't happen. That's what he said. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's what God is saying. He's not going to give his glory to another. Does that mean he won't even give his glory to Jesus? We better get our heads going like this, because that's what he's saying. Why won't he have to give his glory to Jesus? Because Jesus has his own glory. It's a given glory. It's not God. Listen, God's not taking anything from him. He's whole. He's always complete. He does not diminish. He don't pull a piece of his glory out, give it to Jesus, and he's got a void there. No, no, no. He's always complete. And he said, I will not give my glory to another. Look at the next verse. Isaiah 48, verse 11. For my own sake, I will act. For how can my name be profaned? And my glory I will not give to another. Are y'all seeing this? Is he going to give his glory away? Absolutely not. He's not going to give his glory away. But then we have these things happen all the time where we get off on these ideas and we start accepting what other folks say and have done. And we got to be careful. We're not speaking right about the Lord. Listen, if we go back to Greek philosophy, and I share a little bit on this on Thursday night. And Thursday nights I'm going to really be teaching on these subjects because I can really slow it down and really start teaching some of this stuff. So you need to be on our Thursday night service. They'll help you, because I'm going to be talking about how all this stuff. I'm going to talk about the history of how all this stuff happens. Listen, the Trinity, believing that God somehow is three persons in one essence. One said it this way. There are three who's in one what. That doesn't make sense. Because it doesn't make sense. Here's what makes sense to me when I read the scripture. God is the Most High. There's one God. And he has a son, the only begotten son. There not another ever born like Jesus was born. He was born without the aid of a man. That's incredible. So all God needed was a handmaiden, a virgin, who had never knew a man. And she had to have, all he needed was the womb and that egg. And then God supplied the rest. How did he do it? How did that transfer happen? By his spirit. That's what his spirit's for. His spirit does all the, it's the operational presence of God. Not the impersonal. There's a term, because we, you know, some folks will preach this to the extreme. It's the personal presence, not impersonal, but the personal presence of operational presence of God. I want you to understand that. Because God, He personifies lots of things. And it's a personification that I want you to understand. Now, I know it's slow down a little bit. But I got to get you to understand this. Greek philosophy has crept in the church a long time ago. The Bible was written, the New Testament, by the apostles. And after the last apostle died, and Revelations was written, the last book written, some years later, there was a group of people got together in 325 A.D. called the Nicene Creed. Constantine was the emperor, and he presided over the meeting. It was over 300 bishops, and they were going to decide who God was and who Jesus was. I'm going to give you the short version. Thursday night I give you the long versions of it because I want to move on and come to a close here today. In that meeting, they went on and on at each other for a while, and they disagreed. There were all kinds of debates of whether Jesus pre-existed his birth, if he was God, so forth and so on. They went back and forth. We don't know, I don't know exactly what all the bishops said to each other, but we do have a historical account of what Constantine said when he was sitting on his gold throne in his purple robe, in his golden rings and gold all over him. He was an emperor, worshipped as a god. He got up. In the history books, he had a 20-page speech. And in that speech, 20 pages in the history books, not once did he quote a scripture. Not one scripture did he quote. He didn't quote Paul. He didn't quote Jesus. He didn't quote Peter. He didn't quote James. He didn't quote Jude. He quoted nobody. But he quoted and praised Plato. He said that Plato should have been praised and glorified for bringing to our understanding how a God can be a man. He quoted two demon-possessed women. There were two women that would sit in front of a temple with a burning flame, and he quoted two of those and talking about how that a spirit came on them and they began to prophesy about how God was a Trinity. If you want to know where it comes from, I'm giving it to you. He did all of that and they sat down, they voted, and they said, this is the deal. They never voted on the Trinity that day. But they did vote on this. They say God is very God, a very God. Jesus is also God, a very God. They're both co-equal, co-eternal. They're absolutely the same. I'm just wondering what God thought about that at that moment. You say, well, how important was that? Well, they dismissed that council. Years went on. Years, 50 years. They had another council called. This is our church fathers now. And you say, what, our father? Yes. Every Protestants and Catholicism alike were going off these councils. They're going off, even though there was a split when the Reformation happened, but everybody still kept the same council, kept the same creeds. In 381, Constantinople, another council was called, less bishops there, but they added in the third person, meaning the Spirit was added in. So from that point on, from 381, we have what's called the Trinity. I'm here to say to you that we have not said about God what is right. He said to the men, Job's friends, he said, you didn't speak of me right. You get a sacrifice together. Remember that? I read it to you in Job 42. He said, you go to Job, I'll hear Job, but I ain't listening to you. I'm just wondering, how much is God not listening to today? People praying, but he ain't listening. When he does show favor, I believe it is absolute favor and just gracing us in our folly. But if you know the truth, he's not going to continue to do that. And I'm saying, if he answered to me in my folly, how much more will he answer me when I speak the truth about God? We're talking about power here. That's why Jesus, everything he said happened. Because he spoke the truth about the one most high God. Jesus, if you read all the readings of Jesus, he always addressed God as Father. Did he not? He always addressed God as Father. But then you have some today who say Jesus is just as much the Father as the Father is Jesus. My question is how can the Son be his own Father? Why don't we just, listen, one lady said this. She was talking to a man. She said, why don't we just let Jesus be who Jesus is and let God be who God is? What's so difficult about that? So for over 1,700 years, we've been following Greek philosophy. The best thing I can describe to you that I'm a Trinitarian by default, because nobody ever taught me this. Only recently have I studied the history of it. I've just been following a light in the wilderness. And there's no excuse for that. And it's nobody's fault. I ain't pointing no finger, and it's not about winning an argument or anything like that. All that I'm telling you is when you look into his glory, you come out with a different understanding about who God is, the one most high God. And I can't help that. So if folks don't get what I'm saying, I can't help that. All I can tell you, look into his glory and you'll figure it out. Because I didn't ask nobody to tell me this. I've just been obedient to God. I can tell you this, all my life, I've been doing this for a long time. And all my life in the ministry, I can tell you, I always felt like there's something not right. What is going on here? Why are we running into these roadblocks? Why do I feel like I got God on my side, but we ain't winning? And there have been many a days I didn't feel like we was winning. But when you get the most high God on your side, in all of his glory, it changes everything. It changes everything, how you look at everything. It changes it. And I'm telling you, God, he's telling us here, he said, in my glory I will not give to another. I don't know if you and I... Do we have to have any more understanding than what he's telling us here? Look at what he's saying. Look at what he's pointing out. Now, in 1 Timothy, I want you to look at this with me. Look at Psalms 24, verse 8 first. Psalms 24, verse 8. It says this. Who is the King of glory? I like that answer there. The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Who is the King of glory? Who is the King of glory? So if the other team, listen, this is what you need. We need to serve some notice. Now, I'm just wondering, when the school in Belchase heard that Michael Jordan was playing for South Platte, people melt. I'm telling you, it affects people. When you get news like that, because you're saying, how in the world can we overcome him? Wouldn't that be a fact? Does anybody agree with this analogy? Wouldn't that be a fact? How do we overcome someone that's so... he just throws it like that and it goes in. I mean, he can't stop him. And he's so much taller than everybody. I mean, what are we going to do? I want to tell you, you need to serve notice and know who the King of glory is. I'm going to ask it again. Next time, listen, next time somebody calls you up and says, listen, I got some bad news. I want you to start out with, who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. That's who the King of Glory is. What is he saying there? I don't lose. I don't forfeit. I don't quit. I don't fail. I can tell you what Michael Jordan would be telling the boys at South Platte. We're going to win tonight. I guarantee you we're going to win. It's guaranteed. You think their spirits maybe going to get lifted up? You think they're going to walk in with a whole different attitude? What? Yeah. What? I'm telling you, they'd be so proud. And listen, let me tell you another thing. You ready for this? You ready for this? Thank you, Lord. You ready for this? The attendance is going to change at that game. I don't know if y'all got that one. Because all they had to do was put it in the paper. I'm just asking you how much more the attendance would have been. And we just added one guy to the team. I'm saying the church better add the Most High God to their team. We'll get this thing fixed. It changes everything. It changes the attendance, and that's what we got to understand. People got to get a view of who the one Most High God is. Who is the King of Glory? Next time you hear bad news, you go, who is the King of Glory? You shout it out. When you go to pray, you got to know this stuff. He's the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. I don't care what your fight is. God is bigger. He's bigger, way bigger. It ain't even a comparison. He's way bigger. 1 Timothy 1:17. Give you a New Testament one. 1 Timothy 1:17. You want to write these down? Mark them in your Bible. Now to the King Eternal. Who's the King Eternal? Is Jesus a king? Yeah, he's a king, but he's not the eternal king. I just want you to be clear on that. He becomes a king. God been king and always will be king. Do you get the point? He's King Eternal. Difference. He's King Eternal. Jesus was anointed by God. Jesus got his glory from God. Do you understand that? All of it came from the Most High God. And I want you to grab hold to that. So important that we understand that. So we have now to the King Eternal, immortal. Immortal. How many see that? Did Jesus die? Oh, see, that's a question now. There's some folks teach that he really didn't, but I'm going to tell you, they're wrong. He had to die. He paid the price in full through his death, the scripture said, by his death. So he was not immortal. But I'm talking about King Eternal, immortal. What does that mean about God, the Most High God? That means he cannot die. He cannot die. Invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. He's the only God. It's all over. I'm telling you, the Bible is so full of it. We've been going over through all that stuff and just it's kind of blowing past us. I bet you it won't blow past you no more. It can't blow past you. You'll be having your mark, you're burning markers up. You'll be burning the markers up, just marking stuff when you'll see the things about the Most High God. Isn't God good? All right? Jesus has his own glory. Because I don't want anybody to think in any way that I'm trying to take away from Jesus. Let me tell you, I love the Lord Jesus. When I'm praying, sometimes I just, in my prayer, I'm talking to God, but sometimes I'll just stop and say, Jesus, thank you. Because see, you can praise him, but he said don't ask him for anything. He said, there'll be a time you won't ask me of nothing. He said, you ask my Father, and he'll do it for you. But you can praise Jesus. Sometimes I just stop and I say, thank you. I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for being a man of God. I want to thank you for dying for my sins. I want to thank you for when the enemy came and was beating you down, you knew who your God was. I want to know who my God is too, like that. And I thank you for being a good example for me. I thank you that you paid the price in full. Does anybody do that? We ought to praise him, but Jesus has his own glory. Watch what it says in the scripture. I'm going to go through these fairly quick, and we'll find a spot that we can stop. Matthew 25, verse 31. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, you see that? And all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. When is he going to sit on his throne? When he comes. Uh-oh. Do you know that there's not a verse in the Bible that says that Jesus is going to sit on God's throne? If you read in Revelations, it says he goes in there and he sees one on the throne. That's what it says. I see one on the throne. Then he looks to the side and he says he sees the Lamb. Just what I wonder what side he looks to. I can tell you, his right side. But people think when Jesus rose from the dead, he got on the throne. Because if he's dual-natured and he was just man while he was here and then all of a sudden he's not dual-natured no more because now he's God, why did he didn't take his throne? Right? If he's God, why didn't he take his throne? Revelation, Jesus was already gone. Jesus was gone some 60 years before Revelation. He'd already ascended. Why didn't he take his throne? When the Revelator writes, he says, I see one on the throne and I see the Lamb. They worship the one on the throne, but they praise the Lamb. Uh-oh. You'll go back and read those accounts. They worship the one on the throne, but they praise the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? Jesus is the Lamb of God. Amen? Isn't that amazing? Let's look at another one. Luke 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 26. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man, notice that, the Son of Man, you might want to jot that down, be ashamed when he comes in his glory. Who's coming back? Well, no, what he says there is coming back. The Son of Man. Maybe we've got to read that again. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory. Who's coming back? The Son of Man's coming back, which is Jesus the Messiah, the only begotten of the Father. Do you see that? The Son of Man's coming back. The man, Jesus, he's still the same. The only difference is he's been glorified. He's in his glory. Is he going to die again when he comes back? No. He already died. He's the last Adam. He was made just like his brethren. What does that mean? Well, it means he's a man. Just like I'm a man, he's a man. People get they say, oh, I can't believe Pastor Jesse just equaled himself up with Jesus. Well, I just told you that I have the same characteristic of him and the same makeup. He's a man, I'm a man. Is that a true statement? Absolutely it is. The problem is if I said, well, he's a God. Uh-oh. Or maybe he's a God-man. And that's where we got the dual nature come in, or hypostasis comes in. Again, Greek philosophy. We got to be careful with that. And I'll get more into it. I'm just throwing a little, this is enough to keep everybody understanding that we got to change some things. And I hope that you see this. And be patient with me as we go through this, because it takes time. I can't teach it all we've been going in this in 3 Sundays now. We've been leading up to it, but we've been really, and it's going to get more and more, more unfold and more revealing. That's why I'm going to take Thursday night, and we're going to pause from our Revelations study and give us a little bit more time during the week, so we have 2 times during the week. So I want you to see that. For whoever is ashamed of me, in my words of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory, and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. So he's going to come in his glory, in the Father's and the holy angels. And what does that mean? That means there's not that's all of those are going to, the Father's glory, the angel's glory, it's all supporting his glory. But it's his glory. Understand that. Luke 9:32. Now Peter, when his companions had overcome, Peter and his companions had been overcome with sleep. But when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. That was when he went on the transfiguration. Remember the men on the mountain? And he was transfigured. They were overcome with sleep. But when they awoke, what did they see? They said they seen his glory. Now, and later on in the verse, he says that, tell this vision to no one. So they saw it in a vision form. Because he had not died yet. So could the glory fully come on Jesus? No. But if you believe in dual nature, they believe he switched right there. He went from being man to God. Can you see that? That could be a problem. And then he just flipped the switch again, and then he was, he started talking with him, and he was just a regular man. Listen, God don't play games. He don't fool with stuff like that. But that's what philosophy will do. That'll get you thinking about all those things. Luke chapter 24, verse 26. Was it not necessary for Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Was it not necessary for Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? So I want you to think about that. His glory was a given glory. John 1:14, and I'm going to deal with John 1, but we'll start with verse 14 because there's a lot of stuff in John 1 that has to be dealt with. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Do you see that? The glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I'll just share a little bit with you, and we're going to deal with this, and you want to be in these services. The word there is capitalized. And the reason the translators capitalize it, because they want you to believe, they're saying that we're speaking of deity. We're speaking of deity. In the beginning was the Word, meaning in the beginning was the Son. They're saying in the beginning was the Son, or in the beginning was Jesus. Jesus was in the beginning was the Son. The Son was with God. The Son was God. Now, I'm saying that to you because that's what the capital means. Now, what I just said to you, based on what I just preached to you, does it fit? No, see, it ain't going to fit no more. That's why when I started this, I started with God's plan. Right? God's plan. Now, I'm going to read it to you this because logos, we don't really have an English word to translate that word. So we use the word, but the word, in all eight translations, all eight of them leading up to where it shifted and changed. And King James started shifting it. The eight back, not one of those translations capitalized the word, the W in the word. It changed. There was a change. Because the ones who wrote the King James Bible, they were all Trinitarians. And so there was going to be, to me, I believe there's bias in the translation. And believe me, I'm a King James guy. I read King James. I study King James. And you just got to know how to study it. Because there's some things in there that'll get you off. But when you read the book as a whole book, you'll see these things. They become clear to you. And that's why we meet. That's why we have services. So we can learn together. But in the beginning was the plan. The plan was with God. And the plan was God. Now that does not do anything to the scriptures that I read to you throughout this whole series so far. Doesn't do anything to it besides bring it together. In the beginning was the plan. It was the plan of God. It was God's expression. It was God's words. As he makes his plan, he's got all, it's all those. It's all, and so in the beginning was the Word, lowercase, the Word. The Word was with God. Was it with God? Yeah, it was with God before it ever came into fruition. That Word was with God. Was the Word, and it said the Word was God. Is God not his own Word? Absolutely is. You got to be a person of your what? Of your word. What does that mean? That means do what you, what? Do what you say. Are you understanding? So the word was with God. The word was God. God is his word. And he's going to do what he said. Does that not match everything I just told you? The scripture lines up perfectly with it. But when you put son there, when the word becomes son, then it's, what do you do with that? So we're going to have to read into the scripture, because now that we got the word was God, so if Jesus was God, we got to read into the scripture more things to make that fit in other places. Then you have a double, so what do we do to fix it? Dual nature. He was God at times and he was man at times while he was living on earth. That's the only reason he could do miracles. You believe that? No. Why did Jesus say this then? Because see, you got all these other verses. So we go with that. Say we go with that. The only reason Jesus could do miracles is because at that point he was God and he switched. So he switched so he can do a miracle. But why would Jesus say this? I can do nothing of myself. Why would he say that? Why would he say that what he done, he got from his father, the Father gave it to him? Why would Jesus say, why would you call me good? There's none good but one. Why didn't he answer this way? He says, you're right calling me good because right now I'm in my God nature. Why didn't he say that? No, he should have said, hold up, keep that good thought. Now say it. There you go. You got it. Why, when Peter said, who do men say that I am? He said, well, men say that you're Elijah, one of the prophets. He said, well, who you say I am? He said, you're the Christ, the Son of God. He said, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. Guess who told Peter who he was? My Father. My Father revealed. How you deal with that verse? My Father told you who I am, really am. If you want to know who I am, my Father just told you, because you didn't get that from man, because man's teaching something else. They got a lot of stuff, and I'll show you. We'll go back as far back as we can to look at that way before. And remember, Plato and all that was before Jesus ever showed up. Socrates and all these guys, we look at all of these guys and the stuff they were involved in. Let me tell you, that was before Jesus. They didn't even know Jesus. And they were infatuated with all that stuff. So we'll go over that. I promise you, on Thursday night, we're going to cover as much as we can in that. So the word became, and the word became flesh. What does that mean? It means God's plan came to what? Came to fruition. Does that make sense? Absolutely does to me. The word became flesh. And finally, something was on paper, something was in the plan. Now there it is. It's flesh. That one man had said this about the arch. In St. Louis, the arch, how many, if I showed a picture of the arch, and if I'd have showed it to you, you'd have said, what? Because it's a landmark, isn't it? It's recognized by people that live in America. In the paper, in the newspaper, when that thing was finished, this is what was quoted in the paper. It says, finally, the plan became flesh. So think about that. What they're saying is it finally it came to be visible. I could see it. The plan finally became, it was a plan. It was on drawings. Now there it is. And that's what happened. Jesus was in the plan, and now here he is. Finally that day, that time came for him to be there. And it all took place when the angel came and said to Mary, you're going to have a son. Therefore, what's going to be born of you, and then he speaks the words that he speaks. So it's very important. We're going to talk about one of our services. We're going to talk about those conceptions that took place between Mary and Elizabeth. So I want you to keep that in mind. So we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John chapter 2, verse 11. This beginning of his signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee. So this beginning of his signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. So he started to do, what was that reference to? Jesus' what? First what? His first miracle in Canaan. When it was at the wedding feast there, so they begin to see that. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13. But to the degree that you share the suffering of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exaltation. So it's going to be something. But remember, Jesus' glory is his given glory. It's been given to him by God. So next week we're going to be dealing with this, number three. This is what we'll be looking at. God's glory must be praised. God's glory must be praised. To give God glory is to praise and to recognize the importance of God, the weight that he carries. So we're going to look at that. And I started out this, I talked about, remember he carries a lot of weight. I touched on it just a little bit, but we're going to go into how the glory of God and the weight that he carries and the power. So all of these things are interlocked and intertwined together. It's hard to talk about one without touching on the other because we're talking about the glory of God. Let me just share this with you as we come to a close today. I want everybody to be patient with this. It's not, you know, I'm not expecting anybody to get this in a couple services. I wanted you to, let's hear out the scripture. Let's hear it all out. But what I do want you to do in these services, and I thank God. I thank God that he has a way to put in that one thing that we can leave here with and be encouraged. And that's what I want to do. I don't want to come here and do anything other than encourage you and strengthen you in the Lord. And I pray that this word is strengthening you in God, because I can tell you the enemy is out there and he's trying to lessen God. And it's a sad thing that he's using the church to do it. Not to mention we got the bombarding of all the evil that's present in the world and all of the upper hand and the power just jousting back and forth, all this power struggle. That's all there. But it's really bad when the church lessens God. So when you look at it, if you step back and took a look at it, I don't see it winning. If we don't change something, I don't see it winning. Right, and I don't see the church winning. How many want to know that God promises it wins? What do we have to do? He said we're going to have to change. We have to change our view of God. Your view of God has to become bigger. Let me just tell you this. The bigger you get God's view, you'll overcome it in everything. Everything. When evil tries to come against you, you can quickly dismiss that evil. Quickly, because you know that the Almighty God, the one Most High God, is there. When you don't know of who he is, you won't dismiss that evil anytime. You won't. It'll stay there. It'll kind of linger there, and it'll create problems for you. But we want to know who that our Most High God is. Amen? Is this helping you today? I want you to know he's on our side. And he said, if I'm for you, who could be against you? I feel like the team that was expected to lose, and then God just stepped on my team. That's how I've been feeling. I want you to feel the same way. I don't care what the issue is. I want to tell you, God is bigger. You got to get God bigger than the situation. And some of you here today, maybe you got some situations that's pretty difficult. But let me tell you, God's bigger than them all. And I can tell you that, and I can believe that, but until that becomes real to you, your problems, you're going to leave here today, and they're still going to be bigger than God. That's your choice. But I can tell you, that ain't what you're hearing from me. I'm telling you that God's bigger than all the problems. God is bigger. And it's almost like You don't even want, why would I even have to say that? And I'm not talking about just a little bigger. I'm talking about so far past, ain't even close, to, you know, there's no comparison bigger. They're not even on the same, it's not even in the same league. Do you understand that? Not even close. Do you understand that? I hope that you get that picture, that analogy, that it makes some sense to you when you think about how incredible God is. It's absolutely amazing. Let's stand together. We're going to go to God in prayer. I want you to think about this. I want you to understand this. We serve a God. It's absolutely incredible. Me saying it over and over again, still can't get enough out, can't get enough words to describe how amazing God is. But I want to tell you this. If He's on your side, you can't lose. You cannot. It's a guarantee. You ought to be tapping one another, saying, "We winning." You know those high school boys? They all giggly. They so proud walking in there. They ain't no heads down. Everybody's heads up. They're so excited. They're telling all their friends. They're calling people on the phone. You won't believe. You won't believe what's happening tonight. We winning. How y'all know y'all winning? You come see. Just show up. You come and see, and they'll be witnessing, huh? They'll automatically. Let me tell you, when you know who's on your side, you automatically turn in. I'm going to tell somebody. You start witnessing. It's amazing how little our witness is. And the reason is we hadn't figured out if He could do it for us yet. But once you know who your God is. Who's the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. That's who the King of glory is. So they get there. Everybody heard that. They got Michael on their team. Everybody's packed the place out. The gymnasium's full. And they don't see him. It's about 2 minutes till the game starts, and people just got a, they got a talk going on in the stadium, man. I thought they had him. You know, where is he at? And the boys are sitting on their bench. The other team's been looking, and they're looking. No, Michael. All of a sudden, the boys that knew he was on their side, they start getting a little nervous. The other team starts getting more confident now, huh? That was a joke. All the people that bought those extra tickets, they said, man, we've been had. We've been had. Look at us. We here at this game. We done been had. What I'm telling you is about to happen. It seems like it's in the last moment of the last hour. We got 30 seconds in the clock, and the ball's going to be thrown up, and somebody's jumping for the ball. We got 5 seconds, and everybody's there. The ball's in hand, and that guy is so disappointed. And the other guy on the other side, that guy from Bell, he's so excited. He said, I knew it was a joke. They're going to get a beating today. About 3 seconds, and they're about to call it, and in walks. They forget about time starting on time. Everybody forgets about the whole stadium goes, things change. And he says, I'm going to jump for this ball. Things just flip-flop in a matter of seconds. Now, that all that elevation and pride that was about to happen all went down quickly. The other team who was so discouraged, we got bad news, we don't, they was back lifted up. And now it became a reality. He didn't just say he was coming. There he is. Can I tell you? Can I tell you this? Can I tell you this? God ain't kidding when he says he's the Most High God. And I want to tell you, he ain't kidding when he said, I'm on your side. He's not kidding. I'm just telling you, you got to trust him. You got to trust him that he's on your side. Now, he did a lot of things to prove that to us. One, he sent his only begotten son. We got historical facts. We got a whole book written about him. We got other people writing about him. Nobody disputes that there was a son named Jesus who came, and nobody disputes that, but few organizations don't believe that Jesus came, and some of the Jews don't believe that he came, and they don't believe it, but we got a whole lot of people who do. But the way the enemy said he was going to hurt people, he said, I'm going to bring us all back down to even plane. We tit for tat. It really don't matter. And that's not how the God we serve. There's no comparison when you know about his glory. And so I want you to do this. I want you to apply what you've learned today, your knowledge of God, to the situation. Measure them up side by side. And I hope and pray to God that you know enough about God, you walk out this place and you're telling people, man, I had a problem, but I ain't got no problem no more. I had me one of them situations, and I don't have no situation no more. Do you understand that? But that's your choice. That's the decision that I'm going to ask you to think about today. Make a decision and say, you know what? I know God bigger. I know he's awesome. He's so far past anything I could ever ask. So I'm going to let you do that. Now listen to me. He said we have because we ask not. How many know we need to ask him? You know why people fail to ask God for certain things? Because their view of God is so small, they're afraid that it won't happen. Are y'all hearing me? They're just afraid that it won't happen. Some folks don't have a whole lot of understanding of God, but they just crazy ask God, and God blows their mind. But they really don't know God. They know things about him, but don't. Can you imagine what level you can operate on when you start speaking the things about God that should be spoken of him? Remember, two words, kabod and doxa. Both Old Testament and New Testament for the word glory both mean the same thing. Recognizing a person for who they are. That's glory. When you glory, recognize God for who he is. Could you do that? Could you recognize him? Could you get God bigger right now in your life? Could you get God bigger than anything? Any situation you have? I don't care what you're going through. He's bigger. He's absolutely bigger. So we're going to ask God for some things. All right? We're going to ask him for some things. Maybe they're difficult to you. Maybe they were so difficult you felt like, you know what? I don't know if God will do this for me or not. You have to ask yourself, I don't know if God will, or do I know if God can? I'm going to ask you this. What do you believe God can do? He said, is there anything too hard for me? He said, is there anything too hard for me? Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible. So listen, don't be afraid. Ask God for some stuff today. Ask him for it. Ask him. Say, God, I need a miracle in my body. And watch him give you one. Listen, we got to change what's the first thing we do when we hear bad news. We got to change that. If I hear we play in another school, I've been out of school quite a while, so I only know two schools' names. But if I hear we got to play another school, first thing I'm doing is calling Michael. Hey, Mike, you busy tonight? If I hear I got to play, what? So that's the first thing. I'm not going to say, oh, man, I don't know if we're going to beat them. I hope, maybe, I don't know if Mike, he played one game before. I don't know if he could do it again. He's a very busy person. You see what we do? That's our understanding about God. You know, I know God touched me one time before, but that was a long time ago. You know, you see? What about if you hit speed dial and Mike goes, hello? Oh, yeah, I'm on. I'm in. Count me in. No problem. What'd you think about that game? You think the same thing? We won. Listen, put God on speed dial. You got a problem, don't go to something else. You go to God. Because he won't share his glory with another. Uh-oh. He won't share his glory with another. Don't try six things first. And then God's the last resort. Listen, here's the way I see it. Why don't you put God on first, and then if you want to do six things after that, that's fine. But I'm saying God should be number one. Should be the first thing we do. So if you have a sickness, go to God. If you have an issue in your marriage, go to God. Don't go to a counselor. I went to six counselors. They couldn't help me, so I'm going to God. I just want to know how God feels about that. It's amazing you gave my glory away six times. Now I'm here. What, me now? You gave my glory six times away. Now I'm it. I'm last resort. What about coming to God? I got some financial issues. Why don't you go to God? Because I'm going to tell you, when you go to God, he don't just fix the problem that you have. He shows you how to not have that problem ever again. That's what's so incredible about God. I thank God. Listen, can I walk in health? You better believe you can. You can walk in health. We have succumbed to using God as a secondary resource. I'm trying to quit preaching, but it's hard. I don't want God to be second. If he's second, his glory got shared. I'm taken from his glory. And he said he won't do that. How many want to give God all the glory today? Give him all his glory. Well, he is telling you today that this one thing I leave you with, I am on your side. I'm on your side. What does that mean? We win. We got victory over it. We win. God's on my side. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. I don't care what your situation is, you tell him. There's nothing I can, listen, I don't have a special prayer that I can pray. I'm only in agreement with you. I'm telling you, you're standing right where you are. You ask God and you let God do what he's going to do in your life. And you thank him for it. Give him glory for it. Let God have the glory. Father, I just want to tell you thank you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this service. Thank you for your people. Thank you for being who you are. God, for a long time, I had you diminished. In many ways, God, you were less than you are to me now. God, in many ways, I just couldn't understand you. But God, I thank you. I thank you that now we have a deep understanding, a full understanding of your glory. And you said that fullness is filled all in us. It's constantly a filling of that fullness, and we just desire more of you than ever. And Father, I thank you for being the Most High God, the Almighty God, the Everlasting, the Eternal. You're the Eternal. You're everything. And I just thank you for that. Lord, you see, as we come before you, God, there are many situations, many difficulties, many things, God, that have drugged people down and just put pressure on their lives. But we ask you, Father. We ask you, Lord, that if there's sickness, that sickness be healed. Disease would be healed. Lord, relationships would be healed. God, any type of physical condition, Lord, healing We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for any type of mental issue, anything in the mind, Lord, that the enemy has bombarded people's mind. We thank you, Lord, that the mind is renewed in Christ Jesus. God, we thank you, Lord, for all situations, whatever they may be. And you see your people standing here. We thank you, Lord, that you are on our side. And if you are on our side, we cannot lose. God, it's certain victory. Absolute certain victory is ours. And God, we thank you, Lord, no matter what we go through, no matter what suffering we may have to suffer, certain victory is ours. And we ask all this in the mighty name of Jesus, your only unique begotten Son, our Redeemer, our Lamb slain, our King and Lord. We thank you in the name of Jesus that these things be. We honor you, Lord, and thank you for all that you do. And Lord, I pray right now that in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would touch every heart, every life that is here. God, if anybody had a different picture of you, Lord, that picture's clear and they'll serve you with everything that's in them. We thank you for it, Lord. We give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. We just thank God for him just manifesting himself through you all week, this week coming. I want you to just think about these things that were said. I want you to go back through them and let them minister to your lives. We're going to continue in this series. We're going to be talking about this glory, understanding the glory. And on Thursday nights, we're going to be dealing with the history of how all of this stuff happened. So be ready for Thursday night. We're going to dive deeper into this, and then we'll take subjects at a time. We'll be looking at it. So I want to encourage you to come on Thursdays for the Bible study. Usually we're here for an hour. I try not to go over an hour on the Bible study to get folks back home for kids in school now. So we do try to look at that Bible study time to get you back home. So it's 6:30, 6:30 to 7:30. Generally we're prompt. Sometime we go over, just to let you know so you don't get caught by surprise. But most of the time we stick to the time. But we do go over. It happened. It happened a time or two. But it's usually if somebody thinks about a question. So, usually. So, all right. Well, I love you. I thank God for all of you. I appreciate you.